This week's parsha contains within it the Shira, the act of thanks, the Hodoya that Chal Yisrael gave to the Ribbono Shel Olam in reference to the miracles that took place at Kriyas Yamsuf. The perception that Chal Yisrael had of the Ribbono Shel Olam at that point in time when the Yam split was of such a clarity that they were able, as it were, to point at the Ribbono Shel Olam and to say, Zekei Livanvehu, Elekei Ovi, Vare Memech. The question, obviously, which arises is, what did they actually see at that point in time that it influenced them to say this Shira, which was an expression of Hidah? Why did they wait until Kriyas Yamsuf? What was singular about Kriyas Yamsuf that they felt that here they had to say Shiras V'Tishbachos to the Ribbono Shel Olam as an expression of their thanks for the Ahava, for the love that the Ribbono Shel Olam was showing them? Surely the infinite amount of Nisim that had already occurred to Klal Yisrael, and in particular the 10 plagues, should have itself sufficed that it was the ultimate expression of Ahava mitzad the Ribbono Shel Olam to Klal Yisrael. And what was so unique about the splitting of the sea that dafka, that act of the Ribbono Shel Olam splitting the sea for Klal Yisrael, that's what was the catalyst that finally resulted in their saying a thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's the singularity? What's the uniqueness of the event of Kriyas Yamsuf? The Mechilta on this week's Parsha makes an enigmatic statement. The Mechilta says that when the sea split, Kol Hamayim Sheba'olam, all the water in the entire world, Gam Hamayim Atachtoinim V'Gam Hamayim Elyoinim, both the lower waters and the higher waters also split. The lower waters means that not only does Yamsuf split, but every single lake and every single river and every single sea that existed in the world split. But what is the intent of Chazal that not only did the Mayim HaTachtonim split, but the Mayim HaElyonim also split? What are the Mayim HaElyonim? Now, you could literally understand that the Mayim HaElyonim means the waters above. And what are the waters above? Were the clouds split? What actually split above that Chazal are talking about? The Chassidish Sforim all go in the same direction here. And they all explain that when Chazal say that the Mayim HaElyonim also split, Chazal aren't talking literally. Chazal are trying to give over a message of what exactly happened when the Yam Suf split. The physical waters in the entire world split. What happened when the physical waters of the entire world split? There was a revelation. What was the revelation that took place when the physical waters of the world split? The depth of where those waters were positioned got revealed. Normally, the depth is covered by water, and therefore you don't see the depth, you only see the surface, you only see the water. By the act of splitting the physical waters, the depth of that which lies underneath the waters all of a sudden got revealed. That's the splitting of Mayim Tachtonim. Mayim Elyonim represents what in the Chassidish Sforim is called Mei Hamavucha, waters of confusion. That the confusion that existed in the minds of people in the world split. And what happened? The depths were revealed. In other words, the depth of Chochmah, which existed in the world, in every single area, which for each and every individual was causing on those issues that interested him personal confusion, all of a sudden there was a total absolute clarity. And this was not only something which happened to Klal Yisrael. This is something which happened to the entire humanity at that particular point in time. Every single human being at that point in time, when the Yam split, merited a completely clear, total understanding, the ultimate understanding in any area of Chochmah which to that particular individual was of interest and for which that particular individual was confused. Klal Yisrael, whose area of interest in Chochmah was the Ribbono Shel Olam, at that point in time when the Mayim Tachtonim split, when the waters of the sea actually physically split, achieved a revelation of the depth to the ultimate of that which in their area of interest was until that point in time in a situation which can be described as confusion. And therefore, at that point in time, Klal Yisrael was zeicha that what happened, they achieved a total clarity in their area of interest. What was the area of interest of Klal Yisrael? The area of interest of Klal Yisrael was the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore they achieved at that point in time in their confused understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam and his Hanhoga a total and complete clarity to the degree that they were, as it were, able to point because it was so clear to them and were able to say, Zeh Keli. It was at that point in time when Klal Yisrael achieved something that they had not achieved beforehand. And they only achieved it because of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam split the Mayim Elyonim. What did they achieve? They achieved the ultimate understanding of the concept of Molei Kol Haaretz Kvodoi. Of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam rules the world. And the fact that the world is nothing more than a manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. During all the occurrences of Nisi, which occurred to Klal Yisrael through the entire period of time that Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, of course, Klal Yisrael saw those Nisim as acts of chesed on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he saved them from the servitude that they were under. But they were still confused about one issue. And the issue which confused them the whole time that they were in Avdus and Mitzrayim was one glaring question which they couldn't answer. And that question was, why was it that they had to go through that suffering? Why was it that they had to go through what is described by Chazal as basically the worst slavery and servitude that Klal Yisrael ever went through? And the question that they kept asking themselves as a result of this confusion was, wouldn't it have been better if we Bichlal didn't leave Mitzrayim? When the Yam split, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the mess that split the Yam, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael an opportunity to see something which is normally Acheri HaPagad, which is normally hidden, which is normally behind the curtain, in the way in which the Chazal describe it. They were given an opportunity to understand something which a person normally cannot understand. They were given to understand what the purpose was of the suffering in Mitzrayim. They were given to understand that during the entire period of time, which they saw as being ultimate suffering, during the period of time which they saw as being ultimate negativity for them, in reality, this golus, this shibud in Mitzrayim, which was covered up the entirety of that period of time by this shell of suffering, was in fact something which was positive for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when the sea split, that confusion also split, and they saw the depths. They suddenly grasped this understanding of, now we understand exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam was doing and why it was, in fact, not for our detriment, but why it was, in fact, for our benefit. They suddenly realized that everything that they saw as being negative, that they saw as being something which was a punishment from the Ribbono Shel Olam, as they saw as being something which the Ribbono Shel Olam is messing them up, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is tripping them up, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is acting towards them in a negative manner, is in fact Toivosom. And that's why only at that point were they able to say Hoidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, only were they able to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because until that point in time, they could thank the Ribbono Shel Olam in the sense that they could be makir, they could recognize that in certain specifics along the way, the Ribbono Shel Olam did for them a ma'aseh chesed. But as far as the big picture is concerned, why do we have to go through what we're going through, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to give us specific acts of chesed at certain points in time to make things good for us? Why can't it be good for us the whole time? Why do we need to go through what we're going through? Chassidim say over, in the name of one of the G'dayle Ha'admeirim, in the name of Ramatali Rabshita, that understanding, that revelation that Klal Yisrael had at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf is actually going to reoccur at the time of Mashiach, because it's only then that the Ribbono Shel Olam will make it clear to each and every one of us what is the reason why Klal Yisrael had to suffer thousands of years in Golus, and what is the reason that every single individual has to go through crises and through suffering in his life. And only at that point in time when Mashiach comes will the individual gain the real understanding of why what he sees as being suffering is in reality a chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Baal Shem Tov is quoted as saying that And this is a principle that Rav Dessler uses continuously right the way through Michtam Eliyahu. That the Ribbono Shel'olam is the ultimate in Toiv. By definition, divinity is the ultimate in everything. Therefore, by definition, divinity is the ultimate in goodness. If he wouldn't be the ultimate in goodness, it wouldn't be divinity. And Derech HaToiv, the nature of that which is Toiv, Lehetiv, is to do good to others. Says the Baal Shem Tov, if an individual is Zaycha, he receives the Toiv of the Ribbono Shel Olam in a revealed manner. It's openly Toiv. He feels good, it is good. He understands why it's good. However, if the actions of the individual, says the Baal Shem Tov, don't accord with what the Ribbono Shel Olam expects from him, because the Ribbono Shel Olam determines an expectation from every single individual, if the Ribbono Shel Olam's expectation from the individual is not reached by the individual, each person according to his expectation, each person according to his madrega, he can't get the toiv of the Ribbono Shel Olam in a revealed manner. Says the Baal Shem Tov, why not? Because every time that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give him toiv in his life in a revealed manner, there's immediately a din Torah in the Beis Din Shel Milo. And the Malachim are makatrig to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They stand before the Beis Din Shel Milo and they say he doesn't deserve it because he didn't fulfill the expectation that Beis Din Shel Milo had of him. And therefore, they prevent the toiv coming to the person in a revealed manner. However, Derech HaToiv Lahetiv, the Ribbono Shel Olam does want to do good with people. Therefore, how does the Ribbono Shel Olam get around the kitrig of the Malachim? He wraps the toiv in a covering, in a shell, in a packaging which looks like tragedy. If the person is Aymed bin Issoyen, says the Baal Shem Tov, if he realizes that this is a Nisoyen, and he accepts that which looks like a tragedy with Emunah Shleima, and he's makir the kol ma'ados HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tavu of it, and he believes be'emunah shleima that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't do anything to a person which is negative, and he has absolute total bitochem that somewhere hidden in this seeming tragedy is something beneficial for him, and in fact the whole thing is beneficial for him, then in the schus of this emunah and this bitochen, the Ribbono Shel Olam changes the tragedy into what it really is. The Ribbono Shel Olam removes the packaging. He removes the exterior shell of the tragedy. And it goes back to the form in which the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give it to him before the Malachim were makatrik. And here the Baal Shem Tov adds on one factor. He says one chiddush. And what does he say? He says, bischus of the emunah and the bitochen that an individual has, that anything which happens to his life, in his life, which he sees as disaster, which he thinks is a disaster, he's willing to accept it as being toiv, just that he hasn't yet worked out what the toiv is, Once a person can do that, then what happens is that that covering, that clipper, that shell, which was covering up the toif, also turns into toif, and therefore he gets much more toif than he was originally meant to get. And the Baal Shem Tov brings an Eisenariah for it. He says it's a Mefurisha Gemara. What's the Gemara? The Gemara is in Tainus, the famous Gemara. It's in Tainus and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Tainus and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says a story that all of us know because all of us are told this story in kindergarten. It's the story which we know, but we never look at it in the Gemara, and we never medayek the Gemara like Lamdonim. The Gemara says the following. There was a gentleman by the name of Nochum Ish Gamzu. And the Gemara asks a shaila. Why was he given the name Ish Gamzu? And the Gemara says that anything which occurred to him, even though seemingly it was a tragedy, he turned around and he said, Gamzu L'Toivo. And therefore they gave him this nickname, Nochum Ish Gamzu. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara tells a story. And the story goes the following, that Nochum Ish Gamzu was sent as a representative of Klal Yisrael, together with a number of other people, to bring a gift to the Roman Caesar of that period of time. And what was the gift that he was meant to bring? They filled up a chest, a box, with precious stones and with diamonds. And this box of diamonds and precious stones was to be given on behalf of the Jewish people as a gift to the Roman Caesar. And they went on their journey to Rome to give over the gift to the Roman Caesar. And on the way, says the Gemara, they stayed in a motel. The other people in this motel knew exactly what this delegation was and what the function of this delegation was and what they were going to do and what they had with them. So in the middle of the night, they broke open the box, removed, without the knowledge of Nochum Ish Gamzu and the other people, all the precious stones and the diamonds, filled the box up with earth, and relocked the box. Nochum Ish Gamzu got up in the morning, everybody else got up, they had no idea what had happened, and they carried on their way to Rome with this box, which was now full of earth. They got to Rome, and they made a tremendous tararam. A delegation from the Jewish people is presenting Caesar with a gift on behalf of the Jewish people. And they organized a tremendous ceremony. And the king was there with all his advisors and with everybody else. And they gave big drushes about how great Caesar is and how important he is to the Jewish people and how much they respect him and how much they appreciate him. And because they respect him so much and because they appreciate him so much, they're going to give him the contents of his box. And then they give him the box. And he opens the box and the box is full of earth. And the Gemara says that he wanted to kill them all, because he saw it as an open act of rebellion and an open act of Klal Yisrael simply trying to be mevaza him. And standing around, says the Gemara, were Sorei HaKesar, were the officials of the Kesar. And one of them wasn't really an official of Kesar, an official of Caesar, he was just looked like one of the officials of Caesar, but it was actually Elio HaNovi in disguise. And the Gemara says that Elio HaNovi saved the day. Why? Because Elio HaNovi turned around to Caesar and he said to Caesar, wait a minute, maybe this is miraculous earth. Maybe what the Jews are bringing you is the earth that Avraham Avinu used in the Milchama which took place between the Arba Malachim and the Chamesh Malachim, where dirt which was thrown turned into ammunition and won the war. So maybe the Jews aren't so stupid as you think, and maybe the Jews are not trying to rebel. Maybe the Jews aren't trying to make a fool of you, but they brought you this very, very precious earth which will allow you to bring to win wars. To which says the Gemara, Caesar said, fine, there is a Medina that I've been trying to conquer for years, and I'm getting absolutely nowhere. Let's go to battle against this Medina. Let's use this earth and let's see if what you're saying is true or it's not true. Says the Gemara, v'kach hava. That's what happened. And of course, when they threw the earth turned again into ammunition, and he conquered the city. Says the Gemara, he came back and he apologized profusely to Nochem Ish Gamzu, and he apologized profusely to all, to the entire delegation of Jews that were there. And as a token of his appreciation for what they did, he took the empty box, filled it up with precious stones and with diamonds, and said, this is my gift to you in return for the gift that you gave me. Says the Baal Shem Tov, look at the Gemara like a lamb. What happened here? Klal Yisrael took a gift to Caesar. What was the gift, number one? Precious stones and diamonds. What was going to be the result of giving this gift? Says the Baal Shem Tov, the result of giving this gift could be one of two things. Either Caesar would accept the gift, say thank you very much, give him a kiss on both cheeks and send them back, in which case Klal Yisrael are now what? Minus the value of the precious stones and the diamonds, or alternatively give them a gift back. But the gift that he's going to give them back is not going to be equal to the gift that they gave him. Out of politeness, he'll give them back a gift, and the gift will probably be worth less than what they gave him, but as a token of his gratitude, he'll also give back a gift. What happened, says Baal Shem Tov? Tragedy. They open the box, and the box is full of earth. The people standing there at that point in time, what went through their minds? Total tragedy. Had things gone according to plan, what would have happened? Maximum, it would have cost the Jewish people a couple of $100,000. Because they either would have got back nothing, or they would have got back a gift which was worth less than the gift that they gave. What happened in reality, says the Baal Shem Tov? In reality, the stones got stolen. So in reality, two things should have happened. They should have got killed, and Klal Yisrael should have lost a couple of $100,000. What does Ribbono Shel Olam do? He gives them back precious stones and diamonds that basically they made 100% profit. Why? Because the first amount of stones got stolen, okay. Beseder. But they came back with the same amount of stones. They didn't come back with less. What was the tragedy, says the Baal Shem Tov? That's a Mirdika Lomdisha Knech. Says the Baal Shem Tov, what was the tragedy? The tragedy in their minds was, we're giving the king £6 of earth. That was the tragedy in their mind. That was the clipper. That was the shell. That was the atifa, says the Baal Shem Tov. That was the packaging of the nest. What did they get back? They got back the keren plus the atifa. The earth, they got back as well. Because the fact that the earth turned into was earth of Nes resulted in getting back diamonds and getting back Avonim and Margolius Toivis. Chaim Shmulevitz asks a question and gives an answer. He says, it is an empirical fact, non-debatable. It's a metzius. That from the time of Hillel and Shammai and onwards, every Tana is referred to with the prefix Rebbe. And here you've got a Tana who's not called Rebbe Nochum, but he's called Nochum Ish Gamzu. Says Reb Chaim Eisgespalt, it's Muchach from this that the description Ish Gamzu is greater than the title Rebbe. And because Gamzu is greater than Rebbe, then there's no point in calling him Rebbe, because you're calling him with a title which is greater than the title of Rebbe. Nochem Isha Gamzu had a Talmud. And his Talmud was Rabbi Akiva, says the Gemara. And Nochem Ish Gamzu was Machanech Rabbi Akiva in this midah of Gamzu L'Toivo. The famous Gemara in Brochus of Rabbi Akiva, who goes on a journey and wants to sleep in a certain place, and they don't let him. And his response is, Kol ma de'osa kodesh baruch hu l'tavu ovid. Whatever the Ribbono shel Olam does is for the best. And he goes and sleeps out in a field which at that period of time was very dangerous, because there were bands of thieves, robbers, I don't know what they were, highwaymen, who knows what they were, that were running around killing people and taking away their possessions. He had, says the Gemara, an alarm clock, a mode of transportation, and a source of light. He had a Tana girl, he had a chicken which was the alarm clock, because that crowed in the morning and told him when to get up. He had a chamor, and which he travelled around on, and he had a ner, by which he could see what was going on. A wind came and blew out the ner. A cat came and ate the chicken. And a lion came and killed the chamor. And yet Rabbi Akiva responds and says, Kol ma de'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tavu ovid. That night, the city that didn't want to let him sleep there got attacked by these highwaymen, whoever they were. They took away all the inhabitants of the city. They took them away as slaves, they took them away into captivity, and they destroyed the city. Says Rabbi Akiva, great. If the ner would have been dalek, and the chicken would have been making a noise, and the chamar would have been baying, then they would have known that I was out there in the field, and they would have taken me away as well. So therefore you see, the Kol ma de'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tavu of it. At the given time, the situation of Rabbi Akiva was catastrophe. He's going to sleep out in the field outside the city. We know for a fact from the Gemara, Horiah, that the Arya came and at the Chamor, that there were wild lions roaming around there. Absolute, total, complete catastrophe. And nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says, Kol ma de'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tavu ovid. Where did Rabbi Akiva get that intensity from? So, if you're talking on a philosophical level, it's not such a big problem, right? You can understand that he got it from Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu was his Rebbe. He educated him in this way of reacting. You can also understand it on a philosophical level that Nochem Ish Gamzu himself reached a darge in Amuna and a darge in Bitochen, that he understands in his seichel that the Beira is Toiv, the Derech HaToiv LaHeitiv, and therefore a person has to look at everything and say, Koma Ados HaKadosh Baruch L'Tavu Avid V'Gamzu L'Toivo. There's no question that on a philosophical level you can say that basically the reason why these people were able to live their lives in this way is because they understood that you don't look at the detail. You have to look at the picture as a whole. You can't take an isolated event and make a decision on the basis of the isolated event. You have to see the isolated event in its reality as being part of a bigger picture. And that's why he was called Nochem Ish Gamzu. Because every time an event occurred, he said, Gamzu, this event, which is a prat, it's a detail in a series of events which are normally called the lifespan of a human being. And definitely the lifespan of a human being as an entirety is toiv, because that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants, that man should have a good time. Therefore, this prat must also be toiv. So that's why they called him Nochem Ish Gamzu. Because what he said was, Gamzu, this prat as well, is obviously in the big picture, the toivo. That's not a problem. Philosophically, one can understand it. If a person starts off with a hanocha, if a person starts off with a premise, if he starts off with a belief that Mishpatei Hashem Tzodku Yachdov, which means that anything the Rebbeinu Shalom does, Yachdov, if you put the entire picture together, then it's Tzodku, then it makes sense, then it's L'Toiv, then a person has no problems. The difficulty is not the philosophical understanding of it. The difficulty is absorbing the philosophical understanding on a practical level. The Chofetz Chaim, when they asked him once, how come that it's so easy for him on a practical level to be able to see everything L'Toivo, and the Chofetz Chaim had a very difficult personal life, when they asked him how come he does that, he said, I'll give you a marshal. He said there was a village, and this village was a village of extremes. There was a group of people in this village who were Talmidei Chachomim Atzumim G'dayli Yisrael. And there were people in this village who were Amei Ha'oretz, who fulfilled every single aspect of the definition of Chazal of what an Am Ha'oretz is. And they were Balei Agolah, says the Chofetz Chaim. They were wagon drivers. And one Shabbos, a guest turns up. And he turns up in shul on Shabbos morning. And after davening, he goes up to the Rav and he says to the Rav, I don't understand what's going on in this Kehillah, because this Kehillah is crazy. And the Rav says to him, why? He says, look, you've got here davening in the shul, G'dayli Yisrael, not one of them got an aliyah. Not one. Not one. He says, all the aliyahs went to Balei Agola and the Maftir. They went and gave to a kid of a Balagola.
How can you be the Rav in such a town? Fire the Gaba. Which is a very sensible thing. And the Rav turned around to him and he said, I'll tell you what your problem is, he said. Your problem is you're a visitor. Had you come last week, you would have seen that all the Talmidei Chachamim got aliyahs. If you'll come next week, you'll also see that all the Talmidei Chachamim got aliyahs. You happened to come on a Shabbos when the son of one of the van wagon drivers, whose uncles and whose cousins and whose brothers and whose brother-in-laws are all wagon drivers, had his bar mitzvah. So he got the maftir and they got the aliyahs. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's why I have no problems. Because I know that I'm visiting for Shabbos. He says, I know there's a big picture. And I know that I can't see the picture. But I know that if I would be able to see the whole picture, things would be different. Chassidim say, a guy is looking into a room through a keyhole. What does he see? People around say to him, no, what's going on in there? He says, there's an old man with a white beard sitting by a table, learning by a huge Vilna Gemara. So they say, are you sure? He says, yes. They say, are you willing to swear on a Sefer Torah? He says, no problem. They open the door. It's true. There's a guy opposite the keyhole sitting with a long white beard in front of a Vilna Gemara learning. But there's also another 30 people in the room playing cards. You just can't see them through the keyhole. We see things through keyholes. We don't see pictures. Says Rav Elia Lopian. You can have two people swearing on oath in court about the same thing, saying two totally different things, and they're both emes. He says, there's a building in the middle of Manhattan. And there's a guy standing on the street looking at the building, and he gets stepped off the court, and they say to him in court, swear by everything that's holy to you. What you just saw. And he says, I saw a building, so help me God. Is he lying? No. Says Rebellion, that's true, but there's also a United Airlines pilot who flies over this building every single day, because that's the route that he flies. And on top of this building, on the roof of this building, there is a huge football pitch. And he flies over it every day, and what does he see? He sees a huge football pitch and people playing football. They take him to court and they say, swear! Here's the geographic location, what is it there? Football field. Is he lying? No. Says Rebellion, that's exactly the thing. We're seeing things, but we're either seeing them from this perspective, we're seeing them from that perspective, we're not seeing them in their entirety. When you see things in an entirety, you get a totally and a completely different picture. When Klal Yisrael was standing by Kriyas Yam Suf, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them the big picture. All of a sudden, the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed to them the big picture. And therefore, the life became totally different. The confusion, the Mayim Elyonim disappeared. It's clear what's going on. There doesn't exist a person. Every each and one of us, right, are always faced with crises. That is life. Every one of us says it's not going the way it should be going. You can't call it Tov, it's Ra. And we're expected on a philosophical level to be able to see the big picture and to say, no, it's Tov. And if a person was able to do that, if a person was able to see that every single thing is Tov, there would be no such thing in the world as depression. It wouldn't exist. Because what's there to get depressed about if everything's good? But what's the problem? The problem is how do you internalize that? The Matthias. The answer is you can't.
There's only one thing you can do. Because, again, the Metzias is that when Klal Yisrael stood at Mayim at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them this understanding. And because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them this understanding at Kriyas Yamsuf, it became a spiritual genetic code of every single Jew that he does have the ability to be able to internalize this and to be able to live like this. He can do it. But he can only do it with the Siyata Dishmaya. And where does he get the Siyata Dishmaya from? He gets the Siyata Dishmaya from Tefillah. Jews believe that time doesn't move. We move through time. Shabbos Shira, Shabbos Parshas Bishalach, which is Nikvah in Klal Yisrael as Shabbos Shira, is a time when a person can gain a chizuk in this concept of Gamzu L'Tovim Kol Ma'aseh Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tavu of it. And anybody who suffers from any type of depression in any way, in any type of hargosha, that it's not good, didn't daven on Shabbos Shira. Because on Shabbos Shira, as on every Shabbos, one of the things that we are mispalel for is this nakuda, but we just don't realize it because we never think about what we're saying. What's v'sabeinu mituvecho mean? Everybody gets out their art scroll. V'sabeinu mituvecho, you should satisfy us with your goodness. Chinese. Could equally say Ying Tong Seng Wang Ting. Right? Which could be, you should thank us, we should thank you for your goodness, or it could be, I need noodles in my soup. Depending on where you're located. What does the Sabbeinu Mituvecho mean? Sabbeinu Mituvecho means the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Mitzbia as Betuvoi. That the Tov shouldn't be in a clipper of Ra. That the Tov shouldn't be something which I can't see, and therefore I think it's a tragedy, and therefore I go off in the funk and in a depression for who knows how long. V'sabeinu, you should be masbia me, and should feel satisfied that whatever it is, mituvecha. And if a person has kavona in the sabeinu mituvecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam says he will be matzliach, and he will be able to internalize this concept that kol ma'ad osa kadosh baruch hu letavu avid.